This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
6 foot 6 above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take you to another mental level. Low power frequency radio modulation. The big sound from underground, another pirate station. We bring the truth to places truth is never heard before. We bring the sound communication of our tribal war. Dark vision fly by helicopters in the night. Attempt triangulation of our station in the fight. Straight from the base, deep down, no precision. High crime treason, we broadcast in sedition. Like the Wall Street Morning.
Welcome back to the fourth and final programme of Telling Our Own Story. Before getting into the main issues of this programme, we want to draw the listeners' attention to the music that is going to accompany this programme, as it is part of another of the Near Media Co-op's latest development, Near Records. And that, together with the Near Media Drama Group, are a new step in the involvement with the community where local arts and community media meet.
Those wings up with the all marching, we are. They are side of whiskey, vodka, and gin. At the fringe, they battle for some stages. Well, the stick is flying and brings and smile to my face.
Now it is time to start with the programme. As we announced in the previous programme, we will look at the future of the Near Media Co-op. But before that, we will listen to some of the voices that make Near FM possible today. Let's start with a vox pop from the people walking to the door of Near FM at random and see what they answer when asked, what is Near FM for you?
So what is Near FM to me? It's kind of a job, really. It's sort of keeping me off the streets. Giving me a bit of a purpose in life at the moment, and also giving me a lot of skills that I wouldn't necessarily have had if I hadn't started working here.
Oh, for me, it's the experience. It's just to come in here and learn what I have. I've started as a sound engineer, you know, just to basic training, and now I've got my own show every second Friday. Pretty good. Totally different from what I've ever thought I'd do, so delighted to be here, you know.
Love the place. Near FM means everything to me.
For me, Near FM is not just a workplace. It's like coming home. It's a fun place to be, you know.
Kind of new kid on the block here. Loving it so far. World of opportunity, I think. And I'm excited for the potential it gives me to learn and to improve my skills. And look forward to learning from all the great people here at Near FM.
I'm in Near FM to improve and practice what I study in France. And I like Near FM so far.
I'm here on work experience. What Near FM is to me is somewhere where I can express my talent of music, entertainment, for all the people out there, that I can show them how good I am.
Near FM is a good place to work in the sense that it provides a good hands on deck for you, especially having studied something like that in college. And it's also a place that will give you the opportunity to be trained if you're willing to be trained.
Near FM to me is a place of work. It is actually more than a place of work. What is Near FM to me? It's a place where I come to meet people. It's a place I come to train people. It's a place that I come to get involved in community and find out what's happening in communities around the area. It's a place that you don't think about it. There's so much there. It's something you don't think about. You just take it on a daily basis. But there's so much in it, you know. I can't actually put it into words. That's being honest with you.
I suppose Near FM for me is a job that pays. So that's always a plus. But personally, it would be a place where I can go and actually use skills and talents that I was taught in college and stuff. And it's nice to be able to finish up with college and then be able to come and work on stuff you've actually studied before. So yeah, that would be about it, I suppose.
What Near FM means to me is a good question, because I've been here for 13 and a half years now. It's a bit like a home away from home in some respects. It's hard to quantify really what Near FM means to me, apart from the fact that it's somewhere I go to work every day. If I had to leave, which I will have to do in a couple of years' time because I'll be retirement age, what will it mean to me then? Will I feel a loss? Probably. Will I miss doing the programmes I do? More than likely. But generally, it's been a really good experience for me, and I have been happy to have done it.
Near FM for me is, it's very good. Gets me involved in radio, and I like working in radio and working with music and programs, and it's a good thing to do. I enjoy it. That's it.
Near FM to me is a radio station that enables the local community to have a voice and to also learn about activities in the local community that are important to them.
What Near FM means to me, it gives me an opportunity to explore my creative side, as well as being part of a community radio station which offers a very valuable service to the local community around it through the medium of radio.
No scientific value in that poll, as it was just a snapshot of the voices that any day of the week come to Near. It was a mix of volunteers, workers, guests and students. But after listening to the Vox Pop, Jack may be right in his following statement.
It's still an ongoing battle in Near FM. I think there's a huge amount of people here who are getting personal satisfaction out of being involved with media, but still don't understand the ethos or the philosophy of community media. This boat, this ship is sinking. Open your eyes, I better steer.
Open your mind, we need a hook now. We need. And what about the management committee? Do they have their ideas clear? Let's hear from somebody that just left the management committee and is free to give an opinion. Heidi Bedell is somebody that has been involved in community organisations in the area for many years.
I was first contacted by Near FM in 1998, I was standing for the local elections. I mean, I was young then, candidate for the Green Party. I was full of plans and ideas, and I even then I felt I could see what needed doing in some areas, you know, and I was passionate about doing it. Now, I joined the board of Near probably about 6 years ago, after I had left the politics and I had more free time. And I served on the board up until a couple of months ago. And the ethos, they're very genuine and they really examine their ethics in detail, certainly at the board level. And I do think that the organisation follows on from the board level. And they were also very mindful about looking at themselves. So the composition of the board was important. The gender balance, okay, we didn't have any choice on that. Gender balance was forced on us. But we didn't stop there. We looked constantly at age balance, at religious and economic background balance, people from different walks of life, different skill sets, and then within the staff, you know, people from different countries, people with different educational backgrounds. There was a constant reassessment of ourselves, if you like, at the time, to see, are we doing this right? Are we being what we advocate? Are we taking the first step in trying to make sure that we're being as equal as we possibly can across the board? And, you know, so you'll never get it perfect, but I do think that they constantly try. And I think other organisations who are fighting for survival just as much as Near is, they have dropped that ball in a lot of cases. They can't, they just can't deal with it. And they're not paying as much attention at all to staff or who they are or who they... Is their gender balance? Is their age balance? Is their nationality balance? Are they taking on people with disabilities, or is it just too much trouble? Is it just too much trouble to take to start considering all of those things as well? And Near never felt that that was just too much trouble. They're a media station, if you like, not just radio, of course, they're television and drama and IT. But they also believe that they were a community development organisation. And they never lost sight of that. They never became narrow into just being programmes.
But what about new blood? Let's put voices of those currently involved in the Committee of Management. How did they get involved? And what is their contribution to the project? Let's hear from Seanette Budai and Bronwyn Marr, two of the current members.
I first got involved with Near FM or Near Co-op back in 2011. At the time, I had left a job that was working with separated children seeking asylum. So they were young people who had entered Ireland on their own under the age of 18, and they were taken into the care of the HSE. I was there working alongside them as a carer, but the HSE has phased out the care of young people within hostels, and they're now in a direct provision system or sometimes in foster families. So once that project came to an end, I found myself looking for a new place of employment. And within that interim period, I decided to try to pursue some training. So I saw an advertisement for intercultural radio training and intercultural radio program, and that caught my eye because it really speaks to my interest. As a background to myself, I have twice emigrated. First time was 5 when I left my home country, which is Guyana, to move to New York. And then again, I left New York to emigrate to Ireland when I met my husband in my 20s. So the movement of people and immigration really speaks strongly to my personal experience. So I wanted to find a way in which I can engage with this particular topic in Ireland, you know, as part of the integration process, but also to find out what other people were experiencing and thinking, and to find a way to collaborate with other people on that journey.
I used to be regularly on the Sunday morning current affairs. I would just know people. I would get calls from the likes of Sally Galliano, who would invite me onto programmes, because I was always very interested in the whole area of equality, women's issues, women's affairs. So there was lots that I could talk about and was interested in, that Near was interested in. So I had that sort of collegial relationship that went on for years, really. And I was very proud of Near because I saw that as my local radio station, and it had one of the best reputations on the whole issue of racism among the sector, because for whatever reason, Near got it earlier on in those years that this is something we have to make sure doesn't get entrenched in Ireland. And Near was very open to discussing it any time and every time, whereas other radio stations, even big professional commercial radio stations, were always either completely hyped the issue up or were afraid of it. And then around 2009, I was unsuccessful in getting re-elected to Dublin City Council, and I think Jack and Ciarán suddenly, I see a potential victim, someone we can lure onto the committee. And I was actually pleased because I felt I could contribute. And I was happy to say yes. And I'm coming into my third year serving on the committee, and it's great.
As we've heard, Bronwyn was a councillor before she became a member of the management committee of NEAR. And over the previous 3 programmes, we've heard several contributors refer to the politicians, not always in a positive light. But what do local politicians think about NEAR FM? There are numerous public representatives in the area that are in regular contact with the station, MEPs, TDs, senators, councillors, from all the parties. So we picked former Mayor of Dublin, Andrew Montague, to give us his view of Near.
You know, not every community has a radio station where the issues in the community can be discussed, whether that's education or whether it's, you know, senior citizens' issues. So many things are going on, especially at a time like this, you know, when people are struggling with debt. People need to be able to get that off their chest, talk about it. We've got some great agencies in the area. We're just thinking about MABS there and the importance of that money and budgeting advice and how important that is for so many people. And then, of course, the other really important area is mental health services. And for people, you know, it's always been a huge stigma about people admitting that they've got mental health issues, and then because of that stigma, maybe they're afraid to get the services. So the more we talk about it, the more normal it becomes, because, you know, most people at some stage in their life will have some mental health difficulties. And hearing other people's stories, people from your community hearing those stories, and then hearing about the services that are available, I think that's really important. I often hear people talking back to me about issues that they heard on Near FM, you know, and it's a great opportunity for me to get messages out.
Tomorrow seems so far away. I wish it could be today.
Now I think it is about time to give our listeners a blast of what we were talking about when we talk about representing the diversity of our community. This is a small example of what is on offer in the Near schedule every week.
If you thought that environmental destruction
Planet Meltdown and even Armageddon was just around the corner, well, you could very well be right. But together we can do something to halt the destruction of our environment, to find out the why and the wherefore and possible solutions to saving our environment. Why not tune in to Enviro with myself, John Houghton.
Senior citizens calling. Our mission is to impart relevant information. Tune your wireless to 90.3 FM. Near FM calling, Near FM calling.
I'm Wyn na Muike, Clog Wellgid, I Craile, I Glahort Raisha Cuig, Gok Thronona, I Rit na Shochtin. Over, Politeuk, Cursi Raha, Sport, Pastel, August Kjall.
Ciao, io sono Maurizio Pittau e presento in diretta ogni mercoledì tra le 9.30 alle 10.30 di sera Radio Dublino. Radio Dublino è un programma in diretta in cui confrontarsi, ascoltare musica italiana, sentire interviste e avere news dall'Irlanda e dall'Italia. A presto!
Lifeline, Near FM's health, fitness and wellbeing program.
Don't forget to listen out for The Art Show.
With a mixture of music, theatre, film, reviews, interviews and live studio performances, many from local artists and musicians.
Sports Local Live, covering sports from our local community, from GAA to soccer to kitesurfing to squash. If you would like your particular sport to be highlighted on the show, then contact us.
Qu'est-ce que c'est le crack? Ce sont des interviews de petites et grandes personnalités françaises qui vivent ou passent en Irlande. Un suivi des événements culturels en France et ici. Bref, une émission avec un petit goût de pain au chocolat pour des oreilles francophones et francophiles.
Listen to Cover every second Friday from 3:30 to 4:30 here on Near FM.
For issues that affect us all.
For news on human rights around the world.
To keep abreast of global trends.
Tune in to Global Solidarity.
Pride Time, what's hot and what's not in the LGBT community.
Music, news, information.
This is Northside Today.
Now it is time to give voice to one of those volunteers that help Near FM to be on air 24 hours a day, all year round. Owen Drinnan, a quite recent addition to the Near Media Co-op family, talks to us about what community media means to him, how he got involved, and what made him stick around.
It's, I guess, a platform that allows unheard voices, really, that you wouldn't hear in kind of mainstream media. And you can also podcast that interview, you know, on whatever platform or host you want. Community radio, it does allow great scope as well and provides a platform for people whose voices aren't necessarily heard. I started in community radio in September 2011 on a course called Culture Shots. That was an intercultural program, very interesting, making 30-minute programs covering issues from social justice to education to culture and everything in between. So that was a really great introduction to learning about community radio and the purpose that it serves, and also on the other side of things, the technology side and editing and getting used to a studio and being on front of the fuzzy mic. I'm still here today, nearly 3 years later. I try to make the show that I present as interesting as possible and as very variable as possible as well, and I try to achieve that through free online access education, whether it be somebody teaching computer coding in New York online that people from the Coolock area or even further than Coolock could actually access online for free. And there's a big emphasis on access, especially on any of the segments I'd record or persons I'd interview. So that ethos, all right, is definitely built into me and driven as well by the ethos of the station to make it as accessible as possible, which I do feel that we try our best to achieve on the majority of times.
We are arriving at the end of the programmes, and up to now in this series we've looked at the past and the present of the Near Media Co-op, but now it's time to look at the future. This time we will listen to a vox pop carried out among some of those involved in the day-to-day running of the co-op. See what they say when they are asked about how they see the future of the media co-op.
The future, I think, is, I don't know, sometimes I wonder what the future will be. I'm very optimistic, generally, but we're in tough times. We're in times where, certainly from a financial perspective, we've never more relied on the idea of volunteering as we have in the past. Because although we sit in very, very nice surroundings, although we are very lucky in the funding that we generate, you know, we can't take things for granted. And we need more and more volunteers to get involved so that we can ensure the success, the future success of Near Media Co-op.
In terms of the future, obviously resources are always a problem and funding and that kind of side of things. For the broadcasters, core funding is always going to be an issue. So, yeah, so developing that and working with that is something that we always try to do.
I think what we keep trying to do is look at a new technology and say, how can we adapt this to our needs and our community's needs? Even the social, sort of social media, we're looking at the mobile phone, and we're now developing a policy on citizen journalism. And I think a lot of people are using social media to interact. I think there's an application there for community media to interface with all those phone users and encourage some of them to become sort of citizen journalists. I think we'll widen the application, we'll widen the impact and intervention of citizens in that way. So I think we're always looking at the technologies as they emerge, and rather than getting all excited and gung-ho about how maybe even the originator of the technology wanted it to be used, we're always looking at ways to tweak it and adjust it to suit us and our needs for community development.
It's hard to know, but I think that we have been here for 30 years now, and certainly we've had quite a strong impact in the local community, and we're always trying to engage with the local community in more meaningful ways. So long as, you know, knock on wood, as long as the funding is there, we will continue to make programs and to make programs that are worthwhile and of interest to people. I think Near Co-op does a really good job of reaching out to the local community and speaks and makes programs that are of interest to local interest. So I don't see why we would not survive long into the future.
Well, hopefully I would like to think that full integration into a digital age, being practical, having our whole technology infrastructure change to a digital platform where everything will be digital, maybe not the microphones, I suppose, because we're analog creatures, but everything else will be digital, which I'm thinking will allow us to fully integrate all our media sources into one collective. And with any bit of luck, if the economic times change, which they will, hopefully we'd be able to do all that in one big media centre, a people's media centre, where we converge all those technologies. And of course, I have to make comment that our days on VHF, FM, have to be coming to some kind of an end. And hopefully we will move to some kind of a digital terrestrial broadcast. That's would be what my hope would be. Definitely looking forward to the whole concept of digital broadcasting. Definitely.
My vision for the future is, this is a wish list. Okay, number one is that we'll get sustainable funding, and community media, the third sector of media, is fully recognized by the Irish government and the Irish state. I think at the moment there's recognition on paper, but really I think we are very much ignored by all the powers to be. When they make any public statements about media, they always forget to mention that there is a community media sector. Then when it comes to funding, I think we are very much underused. We are kind of pushed into work in a very precarious way because we don't have resources. So if we have funding and that kind of financial recognition of the work we do, we could do the work that we are doing a lot better. And I think that will be very important. Second point is a multimedia center. Really, at the moment, the Media Co-op is divided in two buildings and four offices, and it makes it difficult to work together. Although we have meetings and all that, it makes it very difficult to work in a more organic way. It will be easier if we were all together in the same building and maybe even share an open plan office, so there could be exchanges and ideas. And also, it will be practical to be able to use the radio studios as TV studios. So I think that will be the main thing. And then to keep doing what we are doing at the moment, but do it better, if possible. So more resources, more staff. And also, I would like to see more community media in Ireland.
But to have a future, it's not enough with good wishes. You have to have new blood coming in. So we leave the last words to Darren and David, two young volunteers that run one of the youth programmes of the station. See what they make of the project that was born years before them.
I joined NEAR because I studied journalism in college. By the way, I'm Darren. As part of course, I had to do work experience and I got it here in NEAR FM. I just thought the whole setup they had here was just amazing, and how it was run. It's such a professionally done station, and the equipment in the studio is so high quality. The place is amazing, and I was like, I just needed to get into this place. And so that's why I signed up to do the course, and then I ended up taking over that youth slot. So I've been here for 2 years.
It seems that we're just broadcasting for all people, like anybody, and usually in the local station and online as well. And we try to promote the station's name as well, and try to keep it that it is a community, a local station, and that we're trying to talk about areas that might interest people in the local community as well.
I see myself here for a long time coming because, as I said, the place is just amazing. Completely different than national broadcaster, because this is more of a, it's kind of like friends are kind of all doing it together. So because it's all people volunteering, everyone has such a passion for being here. So yeah, I can see myself here in years to come because it's just such a great place to be.
This is the end of Telling Our Own Story. Thanks to all that took part in the project. We hope to meet you all again in the 50th anniversary of the station.
This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.